It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here as we touch base with the state revenue secretary in this tax season, about 4 weeks out from the tax filing deadline now. Colin, with your questions about tax filing, tax policy, with state budget writing season underway and top of mind, that number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Peter Barka is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, previously served in both the State Assembly and the U.S. House of Representatives. Secretary Barka, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. I appreciate it. Great to be with you.
There has been a great deal of attention drawn to this expected $7.1 billion budget surplus as we move into the next state budget cycle. How did our state end up with so much extra money?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Certainly, having federal funds rolling into the state made a huge difference, both in terms of direct grants that went to people, but also in terms of the ARPA dollars that the state of Wisconsin had. Governor Evers was determined to make sure we reinvested that in businesses and farms and individuals so that people would come out on the other side of the pandemic. And that played just a huge role. Secondly, I think we've tightly managed things over the course of the past 4 years to make sure that, we've had dollars available. And it's paid off for us. As you know, we now, for the first time in 40 years, have a AAA bond rating with Kroll, and we moved up to AA+ with Standard & Poor's. And so it really has put us in a very strong position, Kate.
What excites you about the surplus? What makes you uneasy about it?
Well, what excites me is it provides opportunities, not only for helping especially middle-income taxpayers who've been hit hard by inflation, because I'm sure between the legislature and the governor, and the governor's proposed a very ambitious middle-class tax cut. In terms of nervousness, I don't really have any nervousness about the surplus at all because of the fact that it just allows us to make those kind of strategic investments in workforce. I know every business across the state feels very strongly that we need to do more to attract people to Wisconsin and help remain having a world-class workforce here in Wisconsin, which we've always had and been known for. So, I'm actually very upbeat and enthusiastic about the position that we're in right now.
You mentioned tax cuts. Governor Evers proposing a tax cut for middle-income earners in the upcoming budget. Do you think, is there room to also offer higher-income earners a tax cut?
Well, I know the Republicans feel strongly about that, and it's hard to know where we'll end up landing. But I know for the governor's standpoint, he believes that, it's really the middle income and those struggling to get into the middle income who have been hit hardest by inflation. And he feels like that would be the best investment of the dollar. So obviously, at the end of the day, there'll have to be some sort of a compromise. But we're hopeful that at least we can focus on those that most need the help at this point.
Just a little bit on current events here, though. Is there a risk of budgeting around a surplus since the banking crisis is rekindling recession fears from some economists?
Well, I know our economists at the Department of Revenue still feel very positively. We subscribe to a national service called IHS. And while it's true that there could be a small dip in activity in that we may not remain quite at this robust level, we still feel like we're in pretty good shape. Our economists track it very closely, and we get updates every couple of weeks. And so we're feeling pretty upbeat about where we're going to end up.
Talking about Wisconsin's tax collections with Peter Barka, Secretary of the State Department of Revenue. You can join in with your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Governor Evers called for 20% of state sales tax revenues to go back to local governments. And I'm just curious, what impact would these fiscal changes have on state coffers when you push a lot more money back to local governments?
Well, local governments, for the most part, have really been struggling. It's been a decade since they've had any kind of increase at all, and really almost 20 years since they've had any significant funds. So they've been, you know, except for those communities that are really growing, many communities have been frozen. So they have unmet needs, particularly protective services, law enforcement, and fire services takes up a big proportion of local government funding, and many communities are really struggling. So, I think it would make a positive difference in terms of funding protective services and, you know, fixing potholes in local communities across the state and the other kinds of services that local governments provide. So, you know, the governor feels he made it his top priority for his reelection. And so we're upbeat. The Republicans in the legislature and certainly the Democrats as well, I think, have recognized the circumstances that we're in. And we feel like we can finally get some needed relief back to local governments.
Sales tax collections are seen as a barometer on our economy, on any economy. What do you see when you look at collections? What do you see in these numbers?
Well, you're absolutely right, Kate. I mean, our economists tell us that's one of the best barometers of where the economy is going. And, you know, the good news is it's still increasing, but definitely not at the pace it had been 2 or 3 years ago. So it's a slower growth, but still it's moving in the right direction. So that's the good news.
Are you, you know, I mean, with the surplus, are you concerned about spending large sums of like one-time money and perhaps triggering a structural imbalance heading into, you know, 2 years away, 2025?
Well, clearly that's something that we have to be mindful of. And, you know, the goal is to kind of balance one-time needs with, you know, longer-term needs that we have. So it has to be a delicate balance. You know, the governor obviously has looked at, you know, overall the needs in education and workforce development, even workforce housing, and has made some structural investments that really will put us in the shape to sort of keep us strong over the course of the next decade. But clearly it has to be balanced, and there's one-time needs out there. You know, you have the goal of maintaining the brewers here in Wisconsin for the next 20 years. So that would be one-time money that the governor put forward.
It sounds, though, that Republicans aren't on board with that.
Well, I don't think they're on board with his precise plan, but I think that they recognize that there is a need. And, you know, ironically, you know, you get $1.50 back for every dollar you invest. So it is a positive investment long term. If they were to leave, we'd actually, we'd be losing money compared to actually getting back $1.50 for every dollar invested. So I think the Republicans will find a pathway to getting yes. You never know. But what I hear is just that they want to take a look and put their own imprint on that. And the governor certainly has always been open to the best ideas coming forward, regardless of whether Democrat or Republican.
State Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us in tax season to discuss tax policy, the financial position of our state. Call in with questions about tax filings, the budget surplus, questions and comments about improving tax code, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Revenue Department administers our state tax system and then provides that money to fund state and local government services. Two-thirds of the way through income tax filing season, we have Revenue Secretary Peter Barca on the activity in his agency. Call in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's talk about tax filing. Residents and businesses with about a month before the deadline here. What is different about tax policies that people should bear in mind this year?
Well, the federal government in particular made quite a few changes in their tax code. And of course, that filters into our tax code. When you start with Form 1, you're taking your adjusted gross income from your federal form. So people have to just be mindful of that and you know, watching from where there's differences between federal and state tax code, most people probably won't see that big of a difference, but people have businesses and more complicated returns certainly will. The other thing I guess I should make sure people are aware of is just been the attempts at fraud. We've never seen so many attempts before at the Department of Revenue. In fact, in the first couple of weeks, we had about three, you know, different CPA firms that were hit hard. Fortunately, they cooperated with us and we were able to catch, you know, to avoid the fraud from actually taking place. But we have a new IP PIN for Wisconsin tax filers that people can take advantage of, where they can have their own private account, and it's far more secure. And so we really recommend that people do that. So that'd be the first thing. And then the second thing I'd say is that people should never be hesitant to call the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And the reason why I say that is that we tape record every call. We use it for training purposes. And we ask people to take a two-question survey at the end. About a third of the people do. And we get 99% positive ratings from people on our people being professional and answering their questions, things of that sort. And even in the heart of tax season, I think it was last week, we had a minute and 20-second hold time, which I like to joke, Kate, compares favorably to cable TV companies, airlines, and hotel chains.
So, you know, what should people be on the lookout for when it comes to tax scams?
Well, thanks for asking that. I mean, you know, first of all, it's just important for people to know that this is real and it can affect anybody, as we've seen. We've seen where the federal government's been hit, major corporations have been hit. And so you have to make sure you're, on a personal side, upgrading your, you know, antivirus protection and making sure that you're doing everything you can to protect yourself. And Department of Revenue, we invest over $1 million to $2 million annually in order to protect people's identity and try and avoid, you know, there be any kind of a breach. And but just one breach in one, you know, tax preparing agency can affect, you know, tens of thousands of people. So it's just very important that people are being mindful. And that's why we really have created this identity protection, what we call IP PIN, for people so that they can have a secure, private way of being able to file that makes it just significantly more difficult for anybody to try to steal your tax return or steal your identity, which is a part that, you know, we're extremely, you know, very much on the lookout for.
You mentioned wait time for customer service being quite short. How quickly is the state aiming to process tax returns this year?
Well, generally speaking, if, you know, if people file electronically, they should know, first of all, they generally can get their refunds back much quicker. In fact, we, on average, we can get a refund back within 10 days if people file electronically and if they don't make any mistakes. If they submit it on paper, we're not too much further behind, but, you know, sometimes, you know, there can be, you know, we have what we call data validators. They have to go through, and sometimes when they can't read information, or it's difficult for a scanner to pick it up, they have to correct it. So we definitely encourage people to e-file. And in fact, in the last year, we had over 95% of all taxpayers e-filed. So it's safe, it's secure, and we can process them much quicker when that's the case.
And people are able to file some tax forms, state tax forms, for free through the department's My Tax Account web portal. What types of tax situations would most benefit from this particular service?
Well, generally people that don't have as complicated tax forms, if people have like 5, 6, 7 schedules, it can be a little bit more difficult, obviously. But for people that have relatively basic tax information, certainly it makes it easier. Also, we have 165 sites statewide where we partner with VITA and what's called TCE. And if you're a senior citizen or somebody of limited income, you can go to any of these 165 sites. If you Google VITA Locator, V-I-T-A Locator, you can find these 165 sites statewide. We have 650 just wonderful people, Kate, that volunteer to help their neighbors and help people in order to get their taxes filed. I usually visit, you know, three or four every tax season. And it's just remarkable, just the number of people that come in day after day to volunteer during tax season, just to help people to make sure that they're able to file their taxes. And one other interesting note was that during the middle of the pandemic, when it was so unsafe for people to, you know, be in person, we actually had some of our VITA sites set up like drive-through programs. Hmm. Drive-through and, you know, put them in a place for our people to pick up or drop them off and leave at the front counter and come back the next day or a couple days later and pick up their tax returns. So I really encourage people that need help, you know, senior citizens, people with more limited means, to go to our VITA locations.
The resources are out there. Helpful. Yes. Wisconsin Department of Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us in tax season, talking tax collections and state budget. You can join in at 800-642-1234. John in Richland Center is here. John, hi.
Good morning. I think that we should be in pretty good shape because everybody is happy that we have a $7 billion surplus. It makes everybody happy. But the problem is that we have to balance our income during the expenses. That way we can end up 20 years from now drawing on that funny money from the feds.
John, thank you. I mean, John really pointing out about how to create a sustainable budget when you have a surplus. Your insights, Peter Barca.
Well, John, you're right. There's no question. I think everybody does feel positive that, you know, that there is funds there. And he's absolutely right. You have to balance, you know, you have to look at how much money will be coming in the next couple of years. And you can use part of that surplus, of course, for tax, tax break for people and some of it for strategic investments in education and workforce. Part of the goal is to try and keep us vibrant economically as a state. You know, if you make strategic investments in the right areas, that will help economic prosperity. I know the governor had, we had 10 of the 20 largest companies in Wisconsin that had asked the governor to put in the research and development tax credit. And with what the governor's put in the budget, we'll have one of the best in the entire country. And those individuals had told us that if you invest in that, that's the single biggest thing that we can do for prosperity in Wisconsin. George Whitaker, who's been with Case New Holland for 40 years, had said, well, let me explain it to you this way, Peter. He said, you know, we have research and development and plants in neighboring states like Iowa and Illinois, and really across the globe. But wherever we do the research is normally where we build the product. Hmm. And so he indicated that it'd be very important to make sure we have one that will encourage that type of research and development right here in Wisconsin. The governor, being a former science teacher and superintendent of schools, answered that and put in the budget. So we're hoping that'll pass. And things like that also will make a difference in terms of our economic prosperity long term. Thank you for the call.
Let's bring in Mary in Pewaukee now. Mary, what's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, good morning. Thanks for this opportunity. What I'm asking about is for ourselves. We sold a residence, like a business residence last year, and wondered how will that affect our taxes, because I know we're going to have to pay a large percentage where we normally would be getting a refund. Thank you so much for
this. When you say, just really quickly, when you say a business residence, can you just elaborate a little more? What do you mean?
Oh, well, we had another home, mm-hmm. and we used it as a rental. So, it's called small business. Yes.
Mary, thank you. Revenue Secretary Peter Barca, any insights there?
People who have rental property, when they sell that, just like any income you have, you do have to pay taxes on it. So, especially if you're not reinvesting in, you know, another location or another business type interest. And obviously that can offset it. But whenever people make money from any kind of income there, you know, there is a taxable obligation. And it's just a decision that everybody has to make if it's worth reinvesting or worth investing that in some other business enterprise to offset it. Or sometimes people are at a certain point in life where they really don't want to continue on with that. And that's a personal decision.
Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kate. Always great to be on your show. Thanks for keeping your listeners so informed.
Peter Burka is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore legislation introduced recently with bipartisan support that would seek to further spinal cord injury research here in Wisconsin, requiring the State Health Department to launch a grant program. Call in with your questions about the bill, what you want to convey on spinal cord injuries, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Republican Representative Paul Tittle of Manitowoc represents Assembly District 25. Representative Tittle, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
So this bill, your bill, would direct the State Department of Health Services to award grant money to spinal cord injury researchers. Why is state funding needed?
Well, I think state funding is just, I think, essential to the research. In Wisconsin, I believe we have some of the best facilities for research, including our medical college, including UW-Madison, Marquette University. We have great research facilities, and I think the spinal cord research, or, you know, permanent injury from spinal cord research, was seriously lacking in the state of Wisconsin.
Lacking in what way? Are you concerned that physicians and surgeons have gaps in their knowledge when it comes to spinal cord injuries?
I don't know if they have gaps in their knowledge. I think they have. I think we need to kind of move forward on. There's so many medical advancements on a lot of different things, and this will provide some dollars and cents to different organizations, universities, and what have you, to do the research to restore mobility to some of our, you know, Wisconsinites that have had serious spinal cord injuries, some leading to, you know, paralysis from the neck down, paralysis. We even have one of my colleagues in the assembly, Jimmy Anderson, you know, has, you know, a very severe spinal cord injury and is in a mobile wheelchair.
Are other states getting ahead in R&D, research and development, in this area of healthcare?
Yeah, there actually are some other states that are doing this as well. And we're just advocating. We don't know exactly where the answers are going to come from, but I think we are due for some research that would possibly help people to get some of their mobility back, and not mobility by a chair. And I believe that we can actually lead the nation. And we have, like I said, we have had some great successes in research and medical research in the state of Wisconsin that, you know, I think this one we could do very well at as well.
The bill would earmark $3 million for spinal cord injury research. That's according to the nonprofit Unite to Fight Paralysis. Why that amount of money?
Well, the $3 million is, you know, it basically, why any amount of money? I mean, why would we do $1 million? Why would we do $3 million? $3 million is what we were looking for to try to get. I think that is a good amount for research. We have capped the amount that could be spent on administrative costs at 8%. So Sometimes when you get grants or you give out grants, you have a tendency to have more money used in administrative purposes or in raising money and what have you. We've capped it at 8% because we really want to make sure that most of the money is actually going to the research.
And it would fund research into new pharmaceuticals, medical devices, brain stimulus, and rehab. What research are you most hopeful would be advanced?
I think basically, some type of a stimulation, maybe some cells, cell growth and type things. And, as a person, I have had back issues myself. I'm still mobile. I'm still, upright and walking. But there's other people that have had maybe accidents and what have you, and they don't have the ability. So we're looking. I don't know where all the answers are, but we're going to let the research professionals kind of go with where they the scope of the grant that they write. They try to write a grant and tell you basically what they're going to do research on. I won't be part of that. That will be part of this council that will be set up.
Talking about state politics and spinal cord injury research with Republican State Representative Paul Tittle of Manitowoc, you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234 with your questions and comments. Representative Tittle, Republican State Senator Van Wongard of Racine, is lead author on the Senate version of this bill. And in 2000, Wongard was a law enforcement officer when a squad car was struck head-on by another vehicle, suffered non-paralyzing spinal cord injuries. You also mentioned Representative Jimmy Anderson of Fitchburg. How has this experience, other experiences in the legislature, informed this bill?
Well, I think basically, we are the catalyst to get things done in the legislature. It starts with the bill process. It starts with, a senator and an assembly actually taking the lead on something. But the reality is, and I say this to every single group that I get a chance to speak to, is that good legislation doesn't come from a bunch of politicians sitting around in Madison. It comes from people with lived experiences. So we had the people come into our office, talk with us about United to Fight Paralysis, and we've talked with them, and that's where the bill idea comes out of. It just so happens that, Senator Wongard had a back injury. I've had five back surgeries. I guess that's probably the impetus of what the bill is because they came to us and we seem to be probably the best salesman for the bill, because that's what our job becomes after we draft and write the bills. Then we become salesmen for the bill to try to sell it to the rest of our colleagues and to sell it to the governor so that the governor can sign it into law.
Several Wisconsinites with spinal cord injuries testified at two legislative hearings. What did you learn from hearing their stories?
Well, I guess the biggest thing I learned is that I am blessed. I am blessed that my injuries are not as severe. And I learned that there is a lot of challenges in each, just living each day and getting through each day with some of the things that we take so much for granted, being able to, even this morning, get up on my own and get into the shower on my own. I learned that even though I may have some issues with my health or my back, I don't have nearly the amount of challenges that I think some of the other people do. And they're fighters. And they're fighting for this bill. They're fighting to help get the research done. They're fighting to get a cure for this, because I don't think that we're that far away from. I mean, look at the advancements we've had in medical over the past even 20 years. And it's about time that we put a little bit of research into this, because there are literally thousands of people affected by spinal cord injuries in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, let's bring on a call. Luann is in Hales Corners. Hi, Luann. Go ahead.
Hello. First of all, thank you for supporting this research. My husband was paralyzed 33 years ago permanently. His spinal cord was severed, so he would need to. We were told back then that it was 15 years out for a cure, and here we are, 33 years later, and we still haven't gotten it. So investing in research, thank you so much for doing that. It's very much needed. I can't tell you how 33 years worth of medical expenses, what that costs and the pain and suffering. So it is really needed. And second of all, here's my question. In the research, over the years, we followed that. And one of the things that they were working on was stem cell research using embryos. Would you, and the Republicans over the years have blocked that, would you be supporting that, or are there going to be blocks on the type of research? And before you answer that question, I just want to explain the reason we support it and want it is because the research was showing that taking the embryonic stem cells are undesignated. And at that point, they work better in spinal cord regeneration of the cells, which is what we really need.
Representative Tittle, go ahead here on this research dollars and using stem cells.
Well, I think stem cell research is essential to, I think, just about any research right now. As far as, I even have a friend of mine that had a form of cancer, and they used stem cell research. And when they used the stem cell research, he is literally walking down the street right now because of stem cell research. I believe that we are not directing any certain, any certain research on this. People that will write the grants will write the grants on based upon what they want to do the research on. Again, we're not a researcher, so we're going to let the researchers do their job, because we're basically bill writers and drafters and salesmen for different bills.
Before we move on from it, a spinal cord injury council, the legislation would create this council. What do you envision there?
Well, the council is comprised of, basically one person that is a spinal cord injury person. There's a veteran with a spinal cord injury on there. There's a family member, researcher. This council is made up of, I'll call them the movers and shakers of this bill, because they're gonna direct it. The council, and they're going to direct and meet every 2 years to update. Every year, the legislature is going to get a report from Department of Health Services, telling us what's going on, how much they've funded, what they've funded. So I look forward to reading that. Some of these reports can be very dry.
Paul Tittle is, I'm going to just reintroduce you here, Paul Tittle, Republican representing the 25th Assembly District in Manitowoc, as we explore new developments legislatively and state politics. Join in with your questions, your comments along the way, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Representative Paul Tittle of Manitowoc. Call in with questions and what you want lawmakers to know, especially around healthcare policy, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You chair the Assembly Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse Prevention. What are your top priorities for the committee to address this session?
Well, I think our top priority is mental health providers. In Wisconsin, we have a very serious shortage of mental health providers in being like psychiatrists and psychologists and what have you. Last session, we updated the psychology statute update, and we allowed them to have a temporary or an interim license as they get their hours in for counseling. This year, and it's been four sessions I've been working on, the psychiatry income tax bill, which basically will give them a deduction for the first 5 years that they practice in Wisconsin. If they practice in an underserved area, they can actually, the first $200,000 of income that they earn will be tax-free. If they practice anywhere in Wisconsin, it'll be $100,000 that they could, the first $100,000 that they earn is tax-free. That is one of my bills that I would love to see get passed this year.
How do you hope that type of tax break would affect mental health in our state? Can you connect the dots there?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've talked with a lot of different healthcare systems, Gunderson, Aurora, Bellin, Fredert, and basically it would allow them to attract psychiatrists to practice here in the state of Wisconsin. We got a Bureau of Labor Statistics report that basically said from 2019 to 2021, we lost 100 psychiatrists here in the state of Wisconsin. And right now, the psychiatry profession, I believe almost 50% of them are 50 and above. And so that, you know, we're going to see a decline in the amount of psychiatrists practicing here in Wisconsin. This will be able to be used by healthcare systems to attract and retain psychiatrists here in the state of Wisconsin. And they're pretty excited about it. Basically, this is one of the ideas that I actually came up with when I drive from Madison to Manitowoc. Sometimes I think about different things, and I thought, well, we have incentives to have companies come here. We have incentives to maybe have a doctor practice in an underserved area. Why not combine that and try to attract psychiatrists here? I'll be very honest with you. If we steal them away from Illinois or Missouri or Arkansas or wherever their psychiatrists might be coming here from, I want to help the people of Wisconsin. And mental health needs are great in the state of Wisconsin.
But it's a balance, right? I mean, what is the role of government in improving the mental health of its residents? What should it pay for with taxpayer dollars, and what should it reject?
Yeah, and you know, the key thing that we need to remember on this is none of these people are paying taxes here in the state of Wisconsin. So it's not like we're giving away taxpayer-funded money, because these people are not here. Mm-hmm. And I even asked some of the older psychiatrists, I go, well, are you guys going to be upset because we're not giving you that tax break? And they said, no, we need help. And I think, you know, that is key, because the people that are practicing and providing the help right now are a bit overwhelmed, and sometimes that could lead to fatigue, that could lead to burnout, that could lead to retirement. I mean, they could give it up at any given moment, and we certainly don't want that.
That we need help line is a segue into Governor Evers calling 2023 the year of mental health, proposing to spend $500 million on mental health services, particularly for children affected by the pandemic. What do you think of the governor's mental health proposals?
Well, I think, first of all, thank you, Governor, for coming out with the year of mental health. I think it's long overdue. In my first term, after I got elected in 2012, I started in 2013, I served on the Speaker's Task Force on Mental Health. And it's one of the things back in 2013, then after I got reelected in 2014, met with the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, and I said, you know, he asked us what committees we want to serve on. And I just served on this Speaker's Task Force for Mental Health. I wasn't the chair of it or anything like that. And I told him what committees I wanted to serve on, but I said, I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't think our work is done in mental health. And he goes, oh, that's interesting. And a day later, he calls me back up and asks me, he said, well, Paul, I'm thinking about starting a new committee. Would you be willing to chair it? And I go, well, just so you know, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a counselor. He goes, no, but you care. And it is true, because 1 in 5 people are affected by mental health in the state of Wisconsin. And that doesn't mean 1 in 5 people have a mental health disorder. It means that they're affected by it. They have a family member. They have a friend. They have, you know, so we're all affected essentially by some form of mental health. And I think providing that necessary help and any way we can, and if we can provide help to our kids that went through a very tragic pandemic and schools were closed, the social interactions were down.
But you know, Republicans need to put a price tag on mental health in the next budget. What do you suggest?
Well, I'm suggesting we do a lot of different things, including this psychiatry income tax reduction bill. And I think there's a lot of different ways. I would love to meet with the governor and talk with him about some of the different ideas and see if we can't champion them through a Republican legislature, you know, because we are split. The governor is Democrat, and we are a Republican-led legislature with 64 Republicans in the state assembly to 35 Democrats. So stuff needs to get done, you know, in a Republican House. And I'm willing to be the champion for mental health in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican State Representative Paul Tittle of Manitowoc with us. I just want to run by you, as we saw Republican lawmakers authorize an audit of the State Department of Safety and Professional Services last month. We learned healthcare workers, social workers waiting months to get their licenses. What is your assessment of the situation?
It's sad. It's very sad, because we've had to help people cut through the red tape. I mean, I guess that's probably one of our most rewarding parts of our job, is helping people, you know, that call, that are from my district, that call and say, hey, I haven't been able to get a license. I haven't been able to get an answer. It's sad that we are not able to process this faster. And I think that is also holding back some of the people getting some of the mental health care services as well.
Representative Tittle, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. And anytime, just give us a call. Our office number is 888-529-0025, 888-529-0025.
Thank you, Representative Paul Tittle, Republican from Manitowoc, first elected to the Assembly in 2012. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.